Hey, this is Rapsick. Welcome everyone to Rapsdom, the 26th of November special, which is dedicated to the Saturn, which had its 25th birthday very recently in Japan. Essentially, the Saturn is a legendary theme and a legendary console for me, and I decided that I really wanted to share my own memories and my own preferred tracks about it, because, well, it pretty much was the console that made me both a Sega fan and a gamer for life. Even though that was, nearly 25 years ago. I actually Green Viper's script from last week inspired me to write stuff myself for the first time. So you are actually gonna get a scripted episode this time. So it's not gonna be just random. Here it goes. So yeah, my Saturn memories. The Saturn. It was actually not the first console I owned. That was what I actually found out just yesterday. That was the Timex Sinclair 2068, which was released in like 84. But yeah, considering I was like 3 or 4 and it was pretty old at the time already, it didn't really have the impact that the future consoles would bring. It was, however, foretelling how my life would turn out, because I was already very passionate about the Timex. So, to be absolutely fair, my early 90s were dominated by a couple of PC games, either MS-DOS or Windows 95, but it wasn't exactly the same as a console. The feeling of playing with a controller was just completely different. So I spent a long time, nearly every day, leeching off my cousin's Mega Drive, who lived actually pretty close to me. But yeah, that is a very different story for a different episode. Interestingly, my first memory from the Saturn is actually not from having it, from getting one and playing it, or just playing it somewhere else. It's what from preceded it, from what built it up as a legendary piece of technology to me. So this is rather irrelevant in the big worldwide picture, but early and mid-90s in Portugal was Sega land. Sega was huge, it was everywhere. Most middle class and above families had the Sega console. The Mega Drive was extremely iconic in Portugal, and it still shows. I mean, Mega Drive events and tournaments are still wildly successful in Portugal. And the truth is that, let's face it, and Radio Sega is actually a good example. The proportion of Portuguese people in Sega communities worldwide, especially based on retro, or in old times, is far above what you would expect considering the country's relative size and importance. So yeah, this is a result of an amazing merchandising campaign by Ecofilms back then. Apart from the Game Boy and Pokemon Red and Blue, Nintendo was non-existent in Portugal. The Super Nintendo, the 64, the GameCube actually barely sold at all. I've actually only seen a couple of each there. It wasn't up until internet became very widespread, like 10-15 years ago, that Portuguese people would get to know franchises such as Zelda and Metroid, and that's because of the American influence all over the internet. So this was digressing a bit, but amongst the craze in the early 90s, there was a certain program on TV. There was some kind of bad plot about computers conquering humanity and feasting on humans, and extremely tacky selling and some extremely poor acting. But yeah, even 8-year-old me didn't really care about all of that. It was about the games. Children were put together to play games against each other on a wide variety of versus titles that came mostly from within the sports, racing and fighting genres. It was clearly sponsored by Sega. The entire thing was played on either a Mega Drive or a Saturn. And yeah, they were always talking, the announcers, the presenters, they were always talking about Sega consoles and games, with all the hype in the world. The final match, the one between the two best players for the whole day, would be a fighting game, which was played to a mammoth best of 9 rounds, so the first to 5 rounds. There are two I remember in particular, fighting games that were played on that final. And this program, by the way, it was called Cyber Master. The tackiest thing ever, especially as it was in English, in a 95-96 Portuguese TV show. But yeah, I remember being totally in love with games and the consoles back then and just wishing I had one. And yeah. If you... I think you already know where I'm going with this, but those two fighters that I remember being played in the finals the most, one of them had a stage rotation in versus mode that always started with a specific stage. And yes, that was the one that... the stage that played on the great majority of Cyber Masters finals. Saturday mornings. And yes, these memories single-handedly made that tune my favorite ever. What tune is it? Seriously, if you've been listening to the show, please tell me on Discord if you know what it is. It's going to be playing in just 10 seconds, 15 seconds. So yeah, as you could see, Sarah's stage was the first one to come up in rotation for versus battles in Virtua Fighter 2. The exception would be if players happen to pick a Sarah versus Jackie matchup, which, if you are a Virtua Fighter 2 fanatic, you will know that that would cause the Chicago stage to play. So we're coming up to the stage where I actually got the Saturn, after at least a year of sighing all over it. Yeah, it came up bundled with a certain game, and that I'm gonna explain that later. I'm gonna talk more about that game later. But the demo disc was what caught my attention. That white disc with a 3 on it, that just opened up a lot of possibilities and a reality that I was not aware of. I had the opportunity to watch videos and to try out a number of amazing games, which in the mid-90s, it was mind-blowing, because there was no access to anything ever, through the internet and all. I remember most of those games still, seriously. But yeah, the thing is that what stuck the most to me on that disc, out of all of it, was the amazingly cheerful tune that played while we navigated through the menus on that demo disc. That one's got a legendary status to me, and when it came up in Radio Sega like a few months ago, I honestly cried out of nostalgia after I listened to it for the first few times. So that is going to be the next track. The one that is called in Radio Sega as the Bootleg Sample 2 menu. Immediately after the Bootleg Sampler track is going to be the track that actually played in one of those demos, in one of the playable games in Demo Disc 3. In fact, I loved that demo so much, I just had to have that game. It was... after 20 years, that game is the one that nowadays I consider to be my favorite game ever. And yeah, since it only had one stage, there was only one track I could listen to, and it became the most memorable of all of them, of course. Yeah, what track is it? You are going to have to wait 3 or 4 minutes to find out when the Bootleg Sampler track is done. So yeah, so that was Cyber Troopers Virtual On Damnation Stage, the one that played on the demo disc 3, even though we could play as any character in that demo. It was just the first stage of the arcade mode though, and yeah, In the Blue Sky was the track that played the entire time, and that was amazing. Definitely one of the best memories there is. So actually, back to the game where it all started. Actually, there were two games that that I had by the time I got the Saturn alongside the demo disc. The second was Daytona USA Championship Circuit Edition, which at the time was immensely fun. Even my dad was drawn into that, doing his best to compare all the cars, to compare what they were good and bad at, and to see how quickly he could get through 3.7 Speedway in all of the cars. So yeah, so there were times where I would just wake up in the morning and go see that he actually played dozens of games overnight. Actually, Daytona USA CCE is legendary to me as well, because, well, it was one of the first games and I played it a lot. But at the time, it was actually bought as a side game, mostly so that my brother could also have a game that suited his own interests. Even if I enjoyed the game myself. But yeah, the main game, the one that the console came with, the one that was bundled in. I remember it was an orange cardboard box. The drawing was clearly not from the original artist, but hey, I didn't care. This game was a gem. This game was based on something that was probably as big as Sega was in this early 90s phase in Portugal. It actually made Ecofilmes, the Sega distributor, but back then, in the Mega Drive times, to bundle converters from the Japanese cartridge to the European console. You would buy the Japanese game, which was sold legally, and they would bundle in a converter so that you could actually play that Japanese game in the Portuguese console. And yes, they sold it in Portugal. This game, by the way, this is the Mega Drive game based on that huge thing. There was also a Saturn game that, just like the Mega Drive game, was only released in 3 countries in the world. They were released in Japan, France and Portugal. I'm not kidding. So back then, the game that came bundled in, we got the French localization. I remember words such as chargement for loading. Those were good times. This game is probably obscure to you who are not really into how Portugal was in the 90s and how pretty much everyone had this game in Portugal, but no one else in the world did. And it is going to be the first third-party track that you are going to hear today. Please enjoy!
Fan Choice Song of the Year competition is open once again for 2019. We saw so many great games released between the months of November 2018 and November 2019 that I'm sure it's going to be a tough pick, but we still expect you to choose anyway. To cast your vote, visit radiose.ga/fanchoice2019, and to check out the games list, visit radiose.ga/song of 2019. Votes close on the 7th of December.
In that time, I didn't really know the original Daytona. Arcades were very scarce in Portugal, and my parents weren't really keen into letting me into those places. They were mostly viewed as teen delinquency places back in the day. So until I got the original Daytona USA for the Saturn a while later than Championship Circuit Edition, this was the version that stuck to me the most, which I would later know it was Jun Senoue. Amazing stuff. Yeah, racing games, speaking of Daytona, were a big part of my Saturn life. In fact, I mean, for a 12-year-old who barely spoke a few words of English, you can understand why racing, sports and fighting games were a lot easier to get into than story-heavy RPGs and other kinds of games, where we would really have little clue on what was going on. Yeah, that coupled to the fact that, yeah, my parents never really allowed me to play longer than like 1 hour at a time. That pretty much defined me. So that's the kind of games that more than 20 years after that, those are the genres that I still play the most. Speaking of genres, racing games, yes. Racing games in my early Saturn days. Of course, there's a specific game, a huge classic, that I remember my parents failed at buying it in Lisbon. We actually got this game pretty cheap in Spain. I remember the price. 3,000 pesetas. And I raced through that game's first stage, the first track, the easiest track, countless times. I was always going through that stages. I was always going through that stage, trying new stuff, trying new ways to do it, trying new cars, trying new setup settings. I played it seriously probably thousands of times when I was like 12. Always trying to improve myself. And guess what was the tune that played while I was doing that? Awesome memories. It's something that I still request on Radio Sega quite often, so you won't be surprised. racing, fighters, sports. Yeah, that was what it was for me. So yeah, so we just heard an amazing tune for Sega World Black Soccer 97. A game that I played a lot as well. Actually, I spent a lot of time on its editor, naming and renaming players as I felt like it. And I remember actually pretty clearly that every single team took like 3 blocks in Saturn's internal memory, so editing all the teams would take pretty much almost the entire internal memory and things in the Saturn. Oh boy. So yeah, so at some point I would just delete most of my changes and try another game for another save game. Well, next up we are getting to a stage in my Saturn life that came a year later or so. And my favorite game, my favorite genre, I mean, thanks to the likes of Fighters Mega Mix, Street Fighter Alpha 2, it was defining itself as being the fighting game genre. I remember there were a few that I spent lots of time on, but like 5 or so. I wasn't really focused on being the best player, because, well, I was 13. And a 13-year-old with barely any internet access and no one to play against has a very twisted idea on what is actually the right thing and the best thing on a fighting game. So yeah, so I was focused mostly on the details, on the music, on the plot, on the stages, on details like different color palette for characters and what they changed. How to unlock different things, what track plays in what situation, if there is like a minor change or something. Fun things like on Virtua Fighter 2 where for example if you pitch Sarah against Jackie you are gonna end up in Chicago, or in Fighters Mega Mix where for some reason Mahler is using Dural's stage from Virtua Fighter 2 while Dural uses or Houndstage from Virtua Fighter 1. That kind of little detail, you know? Two of those games that I played a lot of and that I loved, fighting games that is, were in Radio Sega's playlist, Battle Arena Tochina Nura and Last Bronx. So let's enjoy one track of each, the ones that I liked the most back then. And now, what is coming after those last rungs, Kurosawa's theme and Duke's theme from Battle Arena Toshiden Nura? What is coming next is actually a very specific memory. It is on one of my birthdays. It was probably the 11th birthday. It was a big-ish party at my house. Classmates, family. I remember that in that day I got two games. One from classmates, the other one from family. And both of them were wildly different, but both of them were catalysts in rekindling huge passions for me. I played both of them for months, a lot. Those two passions were fighting games, again, and the other one was Sonic. So yeah, please enjoy the most legendary tunes for me, for each one of them.
Thank you.
Sorry, I kind of forgot to take my mic off. Okay, so, we are getting to the last stage of the show. Even if we've been overrunning it a bit. So the final years of my Saturn time before the Dreamcast came along. This is when, I'm afraid to say, Electronic Arts Racers and Sports came into the fore for me. I spent quite a lot of time playing NASCAR 98, even if it not nearly as much as Daytona, but mostly FIFA 98. Back in the day, I had no idea that the Saturn port of FIFA 98 was by far the worst, and it was legendary to me. I even found it extremely weird when I played the PC version a lot later and it was different, even though it is supposed to be much better. I did a lot of stuff on FIFA 98 on the Saturn. I won the World Cup with weak national teams like Bahamas and Solomon Islands. I edited an entire league so that it was a good representation of the Portuguese league back then. It took ages, hours, days, whatever, but 13-year-old me was very happy. And I just love that kind of experience and not messing with edit modes. Additionally, around this time, the last times on my Sega Saturn life, there was a specific very, very fun brawling game that I found out through the demo disc number 5. Not 3, as I mentioned at the start of the show, but 5. It wasn't white, it was red. I borrowed it from a friend, and I actually played this game a lot, and it was great. It was very fun that you could get credits for the arcade mode by playing a very old Sega game from the arcades from like the early 80s, which was called Deep Scan. So, with this bit of info, you probably know what game it is, but please enjoy the track from the beginning of its arcade mode. After that, we will get some Electronic Arts goodies. A little heads up, this is Keep Hope Alive from the Crystal Method, and it was in FIFA 98. It was one of the tracks that I remember a lot, because it was in the menus, it was playing while I was editing things, it was playing while I was preparing for matches. It was a big deal. I could have played Blur, Song 2 by Blur, but I figured that would be too obvious.
Let us not forget.
No surprises to anyone, but this is from NASCAR 98, as you could have guessed by the song tune. This is the main track, and it is actually a legit track, licensed from a band called Molly Hatchet. Molly Hatchet, and the song is called Flirting with Disaster. Show is almost done, so to finish it off, I'm gonna leave you with a track of the game that defined my early teens. This is one I haven't mentioned, and I'm not going to go into huge detail, at least today, but this is the absolute masterpiece of my early teens, the one that I loved above everything else. So, I can talk about this later on if you'd like, but for now, please enjoy the intro theme for Fighters Magnix. So yeah, so that was Fighters Megamix intro theme, a track that has a lot of sentimental value to me. So I can only say thanks a lot to everyone who is listening to this show live, and a massive thank you for people who are listening to this as the podcast that it will eventually become. And thanks for keeping me company on Discord. BritGamer98, Veritex, I Need Fruit, Nicolas Haman, Green Viper, who just joined. Thank you to all of you. I hope that you enjoyed the music in all of these memories, as I just put a massive part of my own life on air. So, yeah, I hope it was a good one for you, just as much as it was for me. So, with Radio Sega, you can expect more Ravzom. And you can expect that Ravzig, me, that I am going to stream next weekend, so keep posted. And keep posted to Radio Sega, as there will be more awesome live shows going on. Please tune in on Friday for Green Viper's Pick and Mix by 7 PM British time. And finally, keep posted to Radio Sega's Twitter. There is going to be something great coming very, very soon. Keep your eyes on it. And enjoy. See you guys this weekend. Bye-bye.